The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and he went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. And the servants of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' And he answered, 'An enemy has done this.' And his servant said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull up the weeds?' 'No,' he replied. 'If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest time. And then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" The Gospel of the Lord. We are reading here from a section in Matthew's Gospel which took last Sunday's proclamation and will also be part of next Sunday's Gospel reading. It's a section dealing with parables. There are seven parables. For today's Gospel reading, there's a long version and then there's a short version, and we read the short version. The long version has three parables in it today. We had one last Sunday, three today, and the long version of next Sunday's Gospel also has three parables. These parables are about the kingdom. And keep in mind that the Church of Matthew, when he was shaping these Gospels, the Church of Matthew did not expect that the Gospel which he shaped would be read at Holy Family 2,000 years later. The consciousness and the historical setting was all back there in the world of Palestinian Jesus. Therefore, we have to look at what it meant in the time of Jesus and when Matthew shaped his gospel and what it means to us today. Since we live in a different world, the Church of Matthew in the early consciousness expected the end of the world to come soon. And therefore, all their teachings and their proclamations are based on this understanding that the end of the world was imminent. The second coming would be soon. Read chapter 24 and 25 in Matthew's Gospel, and you'll see a very strong emphasis on the final judgment, the ultimate disposition of all things. This is called eschatology in the world of theology. Eschatos means the end. And this is future eschatology. We're dealing with things that will happen in the future. But we are dealing with realized eschatology. Something that happens now. The kingdom of God is not in the future. The kingdom of God is now. It's here and now with us. And look at this parable about the weeds and the wheat. Rather subtle, but very interesting. The Greek word zizania is used to describe the weeds. Now, this would have been very familiar to the Palestinian world in the time of Jesus. It was a very invasive and poisonous kind of weed. And the subtlety about it was that when it was sown, it was difficult to distinguish the weed from the wheat. And we had to wait for the thing to mature before we could see the difference between the weed and the wheat. And therefore, the servants don't come to the master early on. They come when the crop has matured, and then they notice that the weeds are there. A very destructive type of weed. So that's what it meant way back when Matthew was shaping the gospel. It has to do with the future and the ultimate disposition of all things and the final judgment somewhere given to each one of us. But what does it mean today? What does it mean now? The kingdom of God is now. It means that the harvest time is now. The harvest is when I look at myself, deep inside myself, honestly. When my conscience comes to the surface and I begin to examine my life and I begin to wonder about the wheat and the harvest and the weeds. I begin to wonder where I fit into this, how I find myself in this parable. The difference is the wheat feeds people. It builds up, it nourishes. It's a gift, it's a blessing. The wheat is a blessing. It's a gift of life. It sustains life. The weeds, on the other hand, they interrupt, they diminish. They somehow devalue the gift of life which is given to us in the food of the wheat. It's the difference, the juxtaposition between generosity and goodness and gift and forgiveness and inclusion and blessing in contrast to greed and selfishness and cheating and lying. One is uplifting and life-giving. The other is destructive. It diminishes. And in the end, it has to be just disposed of, whereas the wheat, the good harvest, somehow lifts us up and gives meaning. Meaning to our lives. So where are we at harvest time? The harvest time is now. When we look at eschatology, eschatos meaning the end, future eschatology is dealing with what happens at the end times and the final judgment. But realized eschatology is what happens now in my life. Now is harvest time. Now is the time for me to look at my life and to see where I fit into this parable. The quality of my life. An honest look at my conscience. A deeper look at myself and the quality of my life and how I am living my life. Either gift, generosity, or self-interest and selfishness. Graham Greene wrote this extraordinary and well-known novel, The Power and the Glory. Interestingly, he spent some extended time in his life in Mexico, in the area of Tabasco. And this novel is set during the Cristero Wars, 1927 to 29 or 30. And the central figure in his novel, The Power and the Glory, is a priest, unnamed priest. He calls him the whiskey priest because he's an alcoholic. He's massively human. makes all sorts of major mistakes in his life. He fathered a child, a daughter. He is given to alcohol. And yet, he doesn't leave his people. The Cristero War, as you will remember, the church was suppressed. Priests either apostatized, led by the government, or else they were executed, or else they fled. But he would not leave his people. He stayed with his people, imperfect, massively human, but he stayed there. And eventually he's betrayed by a mestizo. And he is to be executed. All priests that were stayed were executed. So now he comes to the harvest in his life. Begins to look at his life. And he prays. He prays like he has not prayed before. He prays the Our Father. And the title of the book, The Power and the Glory, comes from that doxology at the end of the Our Father. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. That's the title of the book. And he prays, looks at his life. It's harvest time now. And his great remorse is that he was not a saint. Saints are not perfect now. Saints are focused. Imperfect, but focused. He lost focus in his life. He lost his way. His great remorse now is that he was not a saint. That's the manner in which he prays. And he feels heavily burdened that he will come before God empty-handed, whereas that he could have been a saint. That's harvest. Sometime we look at the gift, the quality, the measure of our lives. And he is executed the next day. And in the book, rather interestingly, Graham Greene wants to portray him as a martyr. He emphasizes more the redeeming quality of his life. He emphasizes more the harvest of sincerity and some kind of fidelity in his life. And also, if you read Albert Camus, who was an absurdist and believed in nothing, and he wrote this famous novel, The Plague. It's set in a place called Oran in French Algeria, North Africa. And three main characters in it. One is a doctor and one is a volunteer and the third is a journalist. And they're prompted to begin a conversation. The most important thing now in the plague is how to become a saint. How to find meaning in my life. It's harvest time for them. Haven't you know, they don't believe in God. All three of them do not believe in God. And yet, they're prompted to search for a journey to be a saint. You know, Dorothy Day, founder of the Catholic Worker and her workers, people would say to her, you and your workers are saints. And she'd say, don't call us saints. Don't dismiss us so easily by calling us saints. There was something deeper in life. So what does this mean to us? How do we find this parable alive in our own journey of life? This week, I began to reflect on that special person in life, in your life, or my life, that special person that taught us about the harvest. It could be your father, your mother, a grandparent, a big brother, a big sister, a close friend, somebody who blessed you, somebody who understood you, gave you time, somebody who forgave you, who encouraged you, who had a vision for you, had a dream for you, the one who embraced you even in your struggling times, the one who believed in you, that special person. Think about that. Who is that special person in your life? That special person, whoever taught you, taught me about harvest. That's the meaning of harvest. It's the value of a person's life, the quality of a person's life. It's a harvest of gift. It's a harvest of generosity. It's a harvest of inclusion. It's a harvest that contradicts everything the world says about greed and racism, judgment and exclusion. It's a harvest of life. That's what this special person said to you and said to me. Said, this is the way to live. This is what it means when we say the kingdom of God is now. Now is harvest time. To look deep inside myself. To measure the quality of my life. Where am I going? What's the meaning of my life? What gift and what blessing do I have to share? What difference do I have to make in the life of another person? Or a community or a church? How can I have a legacy such as the special person that blessed me in my life? I was prompted to sit and reflect and wonder with a final thought I leave with you. Cross my mind that if I enter into the presence of God in a moment where I look at my life, it's a judgment time in the presence of God. What question would I like God to ask me? What is it that I'd say, I hope God asks me this question because I have a good answer? And in the interview to get into heaven, what question would you not like God to ask you? What is it? Where is the weed? And where is the wheat? One question might lead us to the wheat in our lives. The other question might prompt us to consider the weed. We are in this parable somewhere. It's realized eschatology. It's now. Even though the parable had a meaning way back in the time of Matthew, the word of God is forever alive. And the parable of the good harvest and the bad harvest is very much present to each and every one of us. Amen.